All right, so we showed a survey a little while ago. You know, everybody looks at information differently. And when I got this survey and I saw the results, I was bummed, you know? So 4.1 out of 5 people said they were managing lender relationships. I was like, oh gosh, I got a lot of work to do. That's 20% of our customer base, you know? So anyway, so we're going to work on that. Now, I know everybody in the room probably has a great relationship, but what I want to know, I want each table to write down one question. If you could ask your banker anything in the world related to finance, what would it be? So just real quick, I mean, this is going to be 2 minutes. Write down a question. I'm going to come by and pick it up in a second. This is like the 999th edition of Grill Your Banker. I love it. All right, I need everybody up. Can you guys hear me? Everybody up out of your chairs. Everybody. You have heard of J.P. Morgan. You have heard of Rockefeller. Now, coming from the back is Justin Morgan. Money. He is walking tall, making margin calls. He spent 10 years developing the perfect strategy for margin calls. Margin calls are made daily. All right, let's get to these questions here. I am worried I don't have enough working capital for fall harvest. Justin, from Farm Credit Services of America, what do I do?
So I think that's a great question, right? We went through clearly the run up here late fall last year into spring. And one of the things that we sort of felt good about going in was grain merchandising companies, for the most part, had way more liquidity going into this most recent sort of period of time than they did at the last run-up of, you know, 08 through 12 and through that whole period of time. So we felt like a lot of folks were really well capitalized. And I think that was intentional based on the fact that we were trying to be more conservative going in. So first of all, a couple of metrics maybe, Jeff, I think are important to think about. We like to say how much working capital you need as compared to a line of credit needs, and that should interface with a borrowing base, right? Yeah. So we would generally say on a grain company, you should have somewhere around 5x of your line of credit needs to your working capital, right? So if you need a $10 million line of credit on a grain company, you should have about $2 million of working capital, right? So if you think about that, that means you're putting up 20% of it, we're putting up 80% of it. And that should sort of interface with your borrowing base to an extent, depending on what your advance rates are, right? You should get 80, 85% advance rate on hedge grain, 75 maybe on unhedged grain, a little more risk. So that's sort of that relationship. So that's kind of the deal. The challenging part that we've had customers say as well, you know, I don't know what my needs are going to be going into fall because I don't know what commodity prices are going to do, right? So how do I build that out? Do I build it on a high worst case scenario, maximum amount of capital? Do I build it on a normal case scenario? So on and so forth, right? If I fundamentally don't have enough working capital, I don't think, to get me through that, now's the time to be having that conversation with your banker, right? A couple ways you can build working capital. The best way to build working capital is through earnings, right? You're making money, you're keeping those earnings in your company in the form of liquidity. Probably not going to be able to make enough money right now to get you through harvest if you don't have enough. That's probably not an option. Another option is maybe you go take out some term debt, right? Yeah. If you've got some equity in your fixed assets, maybe you get a term revolve or something like that, right, to tap and get some working capital going in. The challenge with that is can you repay it, right? And you got to talk about all that sort of stuff. That's probably the best option going in if you don't have enough working capital, right? Or maybe you're going to your lender and you're saying, okay, we don't have maybe enough working capital to establish a borrowing base today, but we're going to build a plan for the future, And we're going to say over the course of the next 3 years, we're going to step our liquidity up. And in the interim, I need you to work with me on that and come up with a plan that allows me to maybe stretch my borrowing base for a while, right? Stay with me while I build that liquidity. Those are some of the ways I think about that question.
Right on. And that is exactly how I would think about it too, and how you in the crowd should be thinking about it. I've done more plans this year than I've done since I've been at White Commercial. And part of the plan is actually what Justin was talking about, is the working capital stress test. Market goes up, do I have the working capital to support my borrowing base? So if you haven't done it, if you haven't started thinking about it, please do. That's right on. All right, so here's another one. Why treat forward contracts differently than inventory?
On a borrowing base?
On a borrowing base, yeah.
Yeah. So let's step back and just talk about a borrowing base for a second so everybody knows what a borrowing base is, right? So a borrowing base, almost all of our customers are on a borrowing base, right? What a borrowing base says is it says it's a true measure how much liquidity you have, right? So I've got a bushel of corn, it's hedged, it's worth $5. My bank's going to lend me 85%. They should be lending you 85% against that. We do. If it's corn and soybeans in a traditional commodity, right? So we're going to lend you, you know, whatever that metric is, 85% of $5. You got to put up the other 15%, right? We're going to total all that in beans and so on and so forth and receivables. Everything's got an advance rate on it, right? Higher advance rate on less risk stuff. Hedged inventory, receivables that are current within 30 days, all that stuff's got a higher advance rate because it represents less risk.
Net liquidating value, brokerage account,
right?
Less risk.
The more risk, the less value you're going to get to borrow against that, right? So you got to chin the bar on the difference. We're balancing proportionally how much of that capital is ours, the lender, how much of that capital is yours, the customer, right? Because it's your business. We're working off a pretty thin margin. We're not going to share in the upside. If you make $2 million next year, we don't get to share in that, right? You got to capitalize your business proportional, and we'll try to capitalize it proportionally on our piece of the equation, right? So that's sort of the functionality of how a borrowing base works. And then you take all of those advances, and is your line of credit balance and your liabilities, if it's greater than all of that, you're underwater in your borrowing base. Now more of that risk is mine as the lender. It doesn't feel great.
Get ready for that.
Right? Yeah. We just went through that, right?
Yes.
So that's the functionality of how a borrowing base works. That inventory that you own and is hedged or unhedged, we're going to set up those advance rates accordingly. Forward contracts to us, and we can have a spirited conversation about this, represent more risk than inventory that you own and is hedged, right? And so the further you go out, the more risk for a lender. Any number of things can happen, right? So that's why, in theory, you should get a lower advance rate.
Right. That inventory, you can turn that into cash right away if you want.
Exactly.
That piece of paper is harder to turn into cash than
exactly.
The inventory.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, so I got this question twice, actually, and it's not the exact same question, but I think it's saying the same thing. So one is, how much margin call is too much? And the other says, what if the rally goes $2 past whatever I put on my stress test?
Yeah, so we went into that margin call environment for us personally. I can talk about us, and we basically just got checkbooks out and just pretty much funded them. As long as they were customers we felt comfortable with, their risk management plan. We were checking DPRs, we were making sure they were hedged up, we were making sure it wasn't speculative. And as long as that was the case, we pretty much just funded them, right? We weren't going to blow guys out of margin calls. That didn't make any sense. So we funded them and funded them and funded them pretty much across the board. The dynamic that took place, though, was on a borrowing base, their borrowing needs continued to go up, so that multiple working capital to line of credit that might have opened at 5, I need $10 million. I got $2 million of working capital. 20% of it's mine, the borrower. 80% of it's yours, the lender. Well, then we funded margin calls. Boom, 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 boom. Now all of a sudden, guys borrowing $20 million, $25 million. He's still only got $2 million of working capital, right? So now 10% of it's the borrower's. 90% of it's the lenders. We inverted that risk proportionally, right? Now, that doesn't mean we're going to say, no, you have no more access to capital, because that's not the right decision, right? Doesn't make any sense for us to do that. So if it's true, you know, right, correct risk management protocols that are taking place, absolutely going to fund them. It's just margin money, right? But the reality became, as you go forward into the future, what are your needs going to be, and how do we capitalize your business appropriately? So how much margin money is too much money? In the interim, if you're doing the right things, your banker should be comfortable with it and should be continuing to fund you. I don't remember what the other question was.
Oh, I got a bunch here. It was the same thing, basically. Okay. The same thing. So you got it.
I don't know if I answered it or just talked for a long time.
It felt good. Okay, and here's one I'm going to answer for you because I think you just did a great job. It says, why do I need to complete a borrowing base? Well, the whole idea behind that is to not use your farm ground and your bins to finance this inventory and forward contract position. So what we want to do is we want to use current assets, right? We want to use current assets to fund this current liability. That's the operating line. So that's the whole idea. If we don't have the working capital, guess what? You know, then we're going to go after farm ground or any other asset that's out there to help us help you.
And that borrowing base is just going to test you every month. How much liquidity do I have? Do I have enough? And it's going to give you the most accurate snapshot of how much liquidity you have in your business.
Which, from a pure management standpoint, that's exactly what you want, right? You want to know where you're at today, and that'll certainly show
it. Yeah, it's like, and not having enough working capital is like, I've always said, it's like if you've ever walked out into the ocean, you know, let's imagine you couldn't swim, right? And you're walking out into the ocean, and you get a little deeper, and you get a little deeper, and you get a little deeper, and then you start kind of getting up to here, right? Where your tippy toes are right on the edge, right? And that water's bubbling up, you know? I mean, that's what it's like not having enough working capital. You just can't breathe, right? And so the more liquidity you have, right, the more room you have, you kind of start stepping back and that water, you know, gets further and further down. You just got more room to breathe and maneuver and do all the things you need to do to run your business.
Hallelujah. Right on. Okay, so who is your backup at Farm Credit? Like, what happens? Margin calls go crazy. You know, we have $20 corn. Where's the money come from? If it's not, like, do you partner with anybody?
Yeah, we do. So we can hold generally up to about $100 million in a transaction. So I think for most of the people here, probably we don't have issues in terms of running out of that level of capital. We do partner with other farm credit associations. CoBank is one that we partner and sell to. You know, when you think about smaller community banks, regional banks, it's probably a bigger question about running into whole limit issues. I think that's one of the benefits of doing business with the farm credit system is capacity of dollars, right? You're fundamentally not going to outgrow us on capital needs. I would be careful how I say this. I would be having, if I wasn't banking with the farm credit system or a big enough lender, I would be having conversations with my banker about what their hold level is. Every lending institution has a hold level, which is based on the amount of capital that they have, right? So our capital, which is our members' capital, because we're owned by our members, is about $5 billion worth of equity, right? So that drives our hold level, which means legally we can hold up to, our actual legal hold level is $150 million. A community bank that is a couple hundred million may have a hold level of only a couple million dollars.
Right.
And all of a sudden the market runs, and they're out of hold, and they need to participate it. That's not a quick turnaround to participate it to another bank. And then there's questions, and then there's, so not trying to scare you, but need to have those conversations with a banker. And it's fair to ask your banker, what is your hold level? I'm borrowing $8 million today. What's your hold? Your hold is 10? Okay. What's going to happen if the margin calls happen? Can you take care of my needs?
Right. Well, I am scared for you, right? If you happen to be in that situation, I've seen it. I've been at White Commercial 13 years and worked through it. It's painful. There's no pain like banker pain. Trust me on that. It is painful. And looking at here, you know, here, 4.1 out of 5, right? I mean, I need to be a 5 for sure. All right, here's a... Okay, here's another question. Can you provide average farmer budgets for cost of growing crops? For the cost of growing crops? Do you have a budget for that for the farmer?
Yeah, like what it cost, what a break even should look like for a farmer,
for a producer. That's how I read it, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely have got a lot of statistical data around in different regions and different pockets are different that way. But a farmer's break-even costs can be variable to a large degree. No different than your costs are variable. Some farmers have a lot more debt on their farmland or a lot more equipment debt. Some have it all paid for. Their break-even's way lower than the guys that got a pile of debt, right? Guys that rent $400 cash rent ground in northwest Iowa is a lot different than guys got a farmland paid for, right? So that's variable, but yeah, we absolutely have that data.
Awesome.
And I could probably get you some information around what those break-evens look like.
Awesome. Awesome. I'd love that, and I'll make sure I share your contact information with everybody as well. Oh, here's one. I lost money last year, and I'm gonna speak to that. I lost money last year. What do you need from me going into harvest? Now, let me say, what I've seen this year is something very unusual on your mark-to-market statements. With this inversion, right, we were marking a lot of things to market. And not to go into too many details, but typically you see inventory and contracts, sales contracts specifically, move in opposite directions. But if inventory moves 15 cents down, sales contracts are going to move 15 cents to the good, and you're going to be basically balanced on the mark-to-market. This inversion was not like that. So if you saw some anomalies in your mark-to-market statements, I'd like to look there first. Anyway, so that was creating. I found multiple people that created temporary losses for. So anyway, if you'll answer, what do we do?
So they lost money last year.
Yeah.
What do they do? I think it's all about a plan, right? That's going to happen from time to time. There's things that happen in our business. This is one of the most cyclical businesses in the world, agriculture. So that's going to happen, right? We don't expect customers to make money every single year. Maybe if you're making money 3 out of 4 years, right, or whatever, that's pretty good. But how are we going to address it? So number one, why, right? Pretty fundamental business concept. Why did we lose money? And what are we going to do to rectify it? And here's my plan and my projection, right? And if I can break that out and articulate that, I think most bankers are going to sit across the table and say, yeah, that makes sense, right? It's achievable. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be accountable to it. I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Now, if you're losing money every single year and you can't get out of that, probably need to be making some real changes to our business. You know, you start working on 2 years of losses in a row, you're starting to get into having difficult conversations about being bankable, you know, or 3 out of 4, those sort of things start becoming really difficult to be bankable to cash flow lenders.
Thank you. I'm surprised. I saved this one for last, actually. Well, not quite last, but why do you charge so much over prime? And I'm going to change that to be just a little bit to say, why do you charge what you charge to who? You have different customers, right? So how do you come up with the cost structure or profit structure for customers?
So our customers absolutely do not pay the same interest rate across the board. Like, they just don't. Okay, that's a reality. So what a good lender should be doing is they should be pricing that interest rate to risk, right? Higher risk borrowers should be paying more, a higher rate of interest, right, intuitively, than lower risk borrowers. What determines risk? Profitability, liquidity, you know, your balance sheet, your management abilities, right?
Skills.
Your
absolutely.
Skills. Are you doing a great job from a marketing perspective, from a risk mitigation perspective, I should say? So absolutely, that's going to drive a higher interest rate. Why is that? So here's how a lender works, right? The higher the risk, the more proportional capital that lender needs to set aside on their balance sheet, because there's a higher percent chance that they might write that loan off. So then they need more return on that capital that they're setting aside because it's higher risk. the lower risk, the lower capital they have to set aside, because there's a lower chance they're going to write anything off. They can take a lower return on that cap on that deal, right? Makes sense. Makes sense to me.
So like I said, I'm really passionate about this particular topic because we're not there yet as a group. I hope everybody in the room is there. If you're not there, I want you to be there. Trust me, I want you to be there. You know, it's something that that actually the great Dusty Rhodes once said, and you don't want to be everywhere Dusty Rhodes has been, but he said, I've wined and dined with kings and queens, but also slept in the alley and ate pork and beans. All right, with that, we are going to leave. Justin is going to leave the room with the same applause, ovation, adoration that he got when he came in. So everybody on your feet. Just throw it out. Often imitated, never duplicated, Justin Morris. Thank you.